Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt. Joe Stazak here live once again. It is Wednesday morning. We shifted our show to Wednesday morning on the day that the NHL playoffs embark on another cup run. Many teams vying for their first Stanley Cup. Many teams vying for their next Stanley Cup. This is Callis Remarks with Joe Stazak and Steve Callis. And, of course, the man with all the answers, Steve Callis, on the line right now. Hello, Steven. How are you, my friend? You all pumped up for the NHL playoffs and, of course, basketball getting underway soon as well.
All good, Joe. This is a great time of year. It's kind of been dead February into March. Baseball started. That's great, but it's not the playoffs. March Madness to me is really like a two-weekend thing, not a 48-game-in-4-days thing. I'm not into that. But, yeah, this is a great time of year and one we needed after the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh. You think it's been a slow month or a slow couple months for all y'all up there in New York. Try being a Philadelphia fan. Been missing the playoffs, three out of the last 4 years. Their last time was last year in the postseason where they took Washington to 6 games. Now, here we go again, and we'll start with the Capitals, winners of their second consecutive President's Trophy. And you all know, if you listen to the show, my pick and my team this year, I think people are hesitant to take them. They haven't passed the second round since Ovi was drafted, Alexander Ovechkin, in 2004, unfortunately. They do this a lot. They pull the rug out. They're like Lucy with the football and Charlie Brown if you're a Caps fan. But here they are. Ovi's getting it done again. 6 goals, 8 assists in his final 15 games. We know all about Ovechkin. Brent Holpe back there has been playoff tested. None of those losses, I believe, are his fault. 118 points this year for the Capitals playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. Steven, your thoughts on this series?
Yeah, I'm going to jump on the Joe Stazak bandwagon here because and I'll defend my Tampa Bay pick prior to the season by saying Stamkos played 17 games, was one of the league leaders in scoring, missed the rest of the year. Callahan played, I think, 20 games, and those are two key guys. I mean, they can make a run next year if those guys get healthy. But they also traded, as you know, Ben Bishop. I don't want to talk about Tampa Bay, but to their credit, they missed the playoffs. Like, Toronto won the next to last game of the year to eliminate them. But in terms of the Capitals, Barry Trotz's third year might be the charm. It's the old, clearly they're the best team. They have a guy, I think, who can win a cup in Holtby, who has been able to win a cup, in my opinion, for the last few years. It just never happened. Ovechkin, I think, is the best player in the league in the last 10 years. I know the Crosby fans will be screaming about that. But I think he's the complete player that Crosby isn't, in my opinion, because he'll take a hit, he'll give a hit. That's not Crosby's game. He's still the most feared shooter in the league, in my opinion. Although, give Crosby credit, he did lead the league in goals scored with 44 goals this year. But, yeah, I like the Capitals, and I like them to go all the way pre-playoff selection. So give Toronto credit for winning late when they had to. They actually beat the Penguins 5-3 the other day to clinch a playoff berth. But I think this is the year for the Washington Capitals. Although, as you said, people have said that before in the last few years.
Yeah, it seems to be the team that can't quite get there, somewhat like our Greek predecessor Sisyphus, can't get that ball up the hill, despite the fact that they are loaded talent-wise. And I predicted them to be the next team of the decade from where we were in the decade. 2007, the Flyers had a 3-1 lead over the Caps. Caps came back to tie the series, and then it went to Game 7. Overtime, Joffrey Lupul for the Flyers propelled them. They went on to the conference finals and lost to the Penguins. But I thought that Capitals team was ready to take the next step. That was 10 years ago. Looking back, that was 10 years ago, and they still haven't taken that next step like I thought they'd do. You know, Mike Green's not there anymore, bolstering that defense. The whole new team, They certainly have enough firepower, and they have enough defense, and they have enough goaltending. And I agree with you. I think Ovi, for my money, is the most complete player, and he's just the most feared player with that shot. And on the power play, he just hangs at the top of the left circle and waits for someone to feed him. I mean, I hate to be a goaltender facing that, and he's certainly still getting it done in his 14th season. Why haven't the Caps been able to take the next step? Is it really just because they end up facing the Penguins most of the time, and the Penguins certainly they have enough firepower to go toe-to-toe with anyone, and they also have Sid, like you mentioned. Why haven't the Caps, because we can call it a choke, call it what you want, they've always gotten to this position when they have, I should say, and they seem to come up short. Now, is it in their heads nowadays? I mean, they went on to win the President's Cup again. Here we go. Great regular season. What do they need to do to take that next step?
Well, you know, I think hopefully they're going to hope that Columbus, a very good team this year, can beat the Penguins in the first round so they avoid beating the Penguins. I always go back to when the Rockets won those two titles in the 90s when Jordan took those 2 years off. Everybody
yep.
seems to forget that the Seattle Supersonics owned the Rockets, but they were eliminated in both years before they could get to the Rockets, and I think that's a fascinating thing. We'll talk about that another time, of course, but I think in the first place they'd rather play Columbus than Pittsburgh in the second round. In the second place, if they do play them in the second round, I think it's time to exorcise those demons. I think Barry Trotz is a better guy in the playoffs than Bruce Boudreau was. I always thought that was a weakness for them, but having said that, Trotz has done the same. They've done the same fold under Trotz as well. But again, I think this is the year, and don't forget, I think they had the best pickup at the trade deadline in Shattenkirk, and I think that's
yes.
really going to bolster them through the playoffs. So I think they have it front end, back end, and with the addition of Shattenkirk also defensively. So I think they have enough to get over the hump, but you're right, it kind of gets in your head over time, and they may very well play the Penguins. The best way to advance is to not play the Penguins, but of course that's out of their control. Then you'll have to deal with Columbus and John Tortorella. We'll talk about him some other time. former coach of the Rangers, of course, but a Stanley Cup winning coach. You know, he reminds
yep.
me a little of Mike Keenan, who, of course, coached the Rangers to the
yep.
Stanley Cup in 94, certainly only one in my lifetime. But, you know, a tough guy who wears out his welcome quickly. Will he be able to get Columbus over the hump? Give them all the credit, 16-game winning streak and all that stuff.
Yep.
But it's a different game in the playoffs, as you know. And that still is, in my view, the Penguins' edge over both Columbus and, if they play the Capitals again, over the Capitals. But, again, I think Washington gets out of there this year. I think this is their year.
I do, too. Let's move on. You mentioned the Penguins. You mentioned the Blue Jackets. You know, the Penguins coming off a Stanley Cup winning run. They eliminated the Caps last year on their way to do it, and they certainly got it done against San Jose in the finals, led by Sid the Kid, who, for my money, I think is, if not, again, I go with Ovi number one, but for me, I'll go Sid number two. There's plenty of tremendous players out there. I've always liked Sid Crosby. I think I'm the only person in Philadelphia or in the outskirts of Philadelphia who actually likes Sid Crosby. I don't know why. I get why people hate him and maybe call him a crybaby. He's a dominating player for the other team in Pennsylvania. I just love watching him play. You know, I'm more of a purist. When he plays against the Flyers, sure, take him out. Do whatever you need to do. But I just like watching the kid play. He's leading the team again. Like you said, he led the league in scoring in terms of goal scoring with 44, getting it done again. But this team is injured. You know, Malkin's been out since March 17th with that, quote, upper body injury. Carl Hagelin, Chris Kunitz, Chris Letang's out for the season. You know, that Crosby line of Jake Guentzel, Sid, and Connor Sheary, they've been getting it done, but here they are. They're facing, you know, themselves, I think, is the problem in terms of their injuries to taking that next step. You know, Hagelin and Kunitz should be okay. They're not going to be ready for the opening series. If they advance, they'll be okay. It looks like they played most of the playoffs last year without Malkin, and they got it done. Can the Penguins, and do they have enough with what they have going into the playoffs, despite not having Chris Letang, do they have enough to make a run? Can they get past the Blue Jackets, first and foremost? You mentioned Tortorella, 16-game winning streak, but they did lose six down the stretch, you know, straight. Your thoughts on this series? Because I think the Penguins are ripe for an upset here.
Yeah, I think Letang is a huge loss to them
huge.
For the entire postseason, by the way, as you said.
Yeah.
And having said that, I'm going to go with the experience factor that they can get by the Blue Jackets and lose to the Capitals because as good as the Blue Jackets were, and again, Tortorella gets a ton of credit, this is what he can do. He's he's the modern-day Mike Keenan, the turnaround guy. Show in there, you know, get in there, crack the whip a little bit, get better results. I mean, 106 points is amazing. 16 wins in a row is amazing. But that wasn't, you know, back in November through early January. And I think the bottom line on the Blue Jackets and the reason I think they won't win is because they're looking for their first ever postseason series victory. And that, and that's, you know, they always talk about how different it is regular season to playoffs. And when you're playing the defending Stanley Cup champions, I think that's a big hill to climb. So I do like the Penguins in this series, although, as you just enunciated, their injuries are tremendous. If they get by the first round, they'll be a stronger team. But I think Letang is one of those guys you need to win Stanley Cups. You know,
absolutely,
he's one of those types of guys, and he's gone for the duration. So I think they do get by the Columbus Blue Jackets on experience. But I think this year the Capitals get over the hump and beat them in the second round.
I'm in agreement with you. Is there any way, Sergei Bobrovsky, we know we talk about the hot goaltender in the playoffs and whatnot. First of all, Braden Holtby is still right up there. And, you know, the Capitals, for all their firepower, one of the top defenses is in the league.
Yep.
Sergei
yep.
Bobrovsky, the Flyers gave up on him, and he goes on to win a couple of Vezinas. He's the favorite to win the Vezina this year, 933 save percentage. And they have this thing called high danger shots now, you know, in the crease or around the crease. He's 86% there. Can he alone maybe carry Columbus past the Penguinos?
I haven't been impressed with him as a playoff goalie. In the past, he's been hot and cold, as you know. And
sure.
Look, the beauty of the NHL, unlike the NBA, we're not going to really discuss 1-8, 2-7, maybe even 3-6, you know, basketball playoffs. The bottom two are a joke. It's like 1-16 in the NCAA. But in hockey, as you know, it's a totally different ball game. You can be the number 8 seed and get the hot goaltender, and you can win a cup. It's happened, as you know. So he did lead the NHL in save percentage, as you said. He had a stunning year again, probably up for another Vezina trophy. But once again, I go to the experience factor. I go to the team who, yes, injured, but still has their number one guy and is the defending Stanley Cup champion versus a team that had an incredible early season and, as you said, fell off a little at the end, but still looking for their first ever playoff series victory. To me, that's too big of a gap to overcome, even if Bobrovsky plays well. But he certainly has the ability to play well. That was always the question with him down in Philly. As you said, he was more a mercurial goalie
yes.
than a consistent goalie.
No, I'm in total agreement with you. We got to get to your team because the Rangers and Montreal, two of the original six, which I think could be an interesting playoff series. And here's the kind of series where I know Henrik Lundqvist has had a down year, 9-10 save percentage, facing the MVP, former MVP of the league, Carey Price of Montreal. And, you know, this is your expertise. This is your wheelhouse. So talk about the Rangers. Can they get by the Canadiens? Only 1 point separated them during the year. Who do you like in this series?
Well, it hurts me to say this, but I like the Canadiens, and of course I hope I'm wrong, but the king to me is no longer the king. And if you put him up against Carey Price, and I've always argued when they've had these series in the past that the king is the king, and I can't say that this year. Again, I hope I'm wrong. He kind of played well down the stretch, but Price was brilliant down the stretch, so I don't see I always say every year for the last 3 or 4 years, who's going to score for the Rangers? Who's going to score for the Rangers? Who's going to score for the Rangers? And at least this year they got some guys who can score. But I think, again, you know, I go back to 2006 when Lundqvist won the gold medal for Sweden, came back to the Rangers and looked tired to me. He always seems to have been tired. And this year, to me, he's been injured a little. He's been pulled, I'm going to guess, more times than he's ever been pulled in his career. He did play fairly well down the stretch. But I think Carey Price is like 11-1 his last 12 or something, and he has had a more consistent season than Lundqvist. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I always ask this question every year: can Rick Nash score in the playoffs? Because I love Rick Nash. He's been slaughtered in New York the last few seasons, and when you look at him as a complete game player, most people, including Ranger fans, don't want to hear that because he's a goal scorer to them, and he doesn't score in the playoffs. So he can play brilliantly in the playoffs and not score, and it won't matter because he didn't score. That's just kind of how it is in New York and how it's been for Rick Nash. Do I think they can win? I think the Rangers can win. Do I think they will win? Unfortunately, I'm going to go with the Canadiens. And frankly, I'm going to point to the difference in goaltending. I think this year, and this is the first time I've ever said this, I think Price clearly has the edge over Lundqvist. Again, I hope I'm wrong. Lundqvist has the ability to stand on his head, but obviously so does Carey Price. So I'm hoping I'm wrong. I think the coaching change, by the way, really helped the Canadiens to bring Claude Julien in. They were falling off a little. They fired Therrien. They went 16-7 their last 23. So I think that's helped them as well. So much as it hurts me to say this. Now, again, Ranger fans, and I'm one, will say, hey, we led the NHL with 27 road wins this year, so we can go up to Montreal and beat them. But, of course, they only won 21 games at home, so that's a problem.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it will come down to goaltending. And this year, I have to admit, in my opinion, in my Ranger fan opinion, I think Price is better right now than Lundqvist. But, again, hopefully we'll be talking in a week or 2 weeks, and I'll be happy to say I was wrong. But I'm going to pick Montreal to beat the Rangers.
One more question on this series before we move on. What do you think the trade from – and I love P.K. Subban. He's no longer with the Canadiens. Shea Weber is now with the Canadiens, that big trade that happened this year. What has Shea Weber done for this team?
Well, I think Weber helps them, but I think Subban was like a minor legend in Montreal.
Legend.
And a real – you know, did a lot of work in the community, guy.
Yes.
You know,
I
saw a fantastic documentary that I recommend to everyone called Soul on Ice. And it's about the history of black players playing hockey going back 100 years, which I knew nothing about. But P.K. Subban was featured in that piece. And it's like a 90-minute documentary. Again, I recommend it to everybody. But what he did around the community to help people black and white, frankly, was amazing. So I think he was beloved. He was a great player, I thought, for Montreal. So do I think Shea Weber is an excellent player? I do. But I think there's something more there when P.K. Subban left town, although, again, I still think Montreal gets the win here in this first-round series.
No, I'm with you, and I would love to have a guy like P.K. Subban on my blue line any day of the week, one of the hardest shots I've ever seen. You know, you talk about black history. The only guy I remember from back in the day, and I will read that book, is Tony McKegney from Buffalo. When I grew up, he was getting it done for the Sabres. Let's go on to the Ottawa-Boston. Interesting matchup, second and third, teams finishing in the Atlantic Division. Any thoughts on this? Appears to be maybe it's going to come down to the power play. Boston has the top penalty killing unit. Ottawa does not do a lot of scoring on their power play, and they have all these new stats now, and Boston has a puck possession rating. They're the number one team in puck possession, and eight of the last 11 cups, I saw a stat, eight of those teams have been in the top three in puck possession. Boston struggled a little bit this year, up and down. They've been up and down since 2011 when they won the cup. Your thoughts on this series?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Boston. I like the puck possession stats. I like these new stats that are coming into, we've had sabermetrics in baseball for a while, and now they're coming into basketball and hockey. I find them interesting. As with baseball, I don't think they're the whole game. I would never say Billy Bean shouldn't watch baseball games as they portrayed in Moneyball.
Right.
If he really didn't watch the games, I personally think that's a big mistake, especially if you're a baseball guy. But I do like the notion of, obviously, you can't score without possession of the puck, and even though Ottawa finished a little higher than Boston point-wise, I give Boston a slight edge here. The other thing we should focus on just briefly is the way they do it. They don't reseed the entire conference, what they do is, and I'm sure you know this, the Canadians are playing the Rangers, and the winner plays the winner of Ottawa and the Bruins. I think that's a lot softer bracket, if you will, than the Capitals playing the Leafs, and then the Penguins playing the Blue Jackets. So if you're the Blue Jackets or the Penguins, you got to get through either the Penguins or the Blue Jackets, and probably the Capitals, just to play for a chance to get into the Stanley Cup. Where if you're the Canadians, and I'm just picking the Canadians because I'm picking them to come out of that foursome, you have to beat the Rangers and then beat the winner of the Bruins and Ottawa. I mean, I don't know. I think they changed this like 3 years ago, but it really strikes me mostly unfair to the Penguins and the Blue Jackets, at least in the East. So I find that interesting as well. But I think whoever comes out of the – I'm picking the Canadians and the Bruins. Whoever comes out of that side, I don't think they're going to be able to beat either the Penguins or the Blue Jackets or the Capitals. I'm eliminating Toronto in that mix. But I think it's interesting and, frankly, a little bit unfair. If I'm the Rangers and I'm a Ranger guy, if I only have to beat the Canadians and the Bruins to get for a chance to go to the Stanley Cup, that's pretty good.
I'll take my shot with that. Kind of reminds me of the East region in the NCAA tournament this year with Nova and Duke in the same. But they got knocked off, and South Carolina makes its way, you know, to the national semifinals. I remember in 2010, the Flyers were a 7 seed, and they needed it. You remember against the Rangers, the last game of the season, they get it done in an overtime shootout. And they were a 7 seed, and the Caps and Penguins, top 2 seeds in the league, basically got knocked out first round and second round. And it paved the way for the Flyers to get to the finals. It's unbelievable what can happen, but, you know, with a collapse here or there, you know, we shall see. But over in the West is, I think, heavily weighted in the Central League. And let's start with Chicago. Demons won 3 cups since 2010, and they look like they're loaded for bear again. They have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. I think he's one of the great captains of our era, a little unsung, but, man, I'd take him 8 days a week and twice on Sunday. What are your thoughts on the Chicago Blackhawks and the Nashville Predators first round?
Yeah, I've been a Blackhawk fan for many years after the Rangers. I can even tell you when I was a little kid, I used to after the Rangers came in 5th or 6th in the 6-team NHL, I used to root for Stan Mikita. I had like a Mikita jersey that I wore to play roller hockey because the Rangers were so horrific. This is the mid-60s before they finally made the playoffs. But the Blackhawks, of course, of the last 7-8 years have also, they replaced the Red Wings as the best team. And they do have their big guns. And I do kind of like them. But this is a dangerous spot. This is, again, one of these, to me, incredible first-round playoff spots because Nashville is very good. Pekka Rene, can he stand on his head? He reminds me a little bit of Bobrovsky, frankly. Sometimes he's really, really good, and sometimes not so much. Corey Crawford, to me, a little more steady, but Chicago has the firepower, and I think they get through this first round. But if you told me this was going to be the finals of the conference to go to the Stanley Cup, I wouldn't have been shocked. But again, this is the way it shakes out. So to me, just like in the East, this top bracket is very, very tough. I mean, the Wild and St. Louis are the other ones. Those winners play. And I don't think out West, you know, is really that strong. So I think, again, whoever comes out of that foursome is going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. But I do like the Blackhawks, and in fact, I will pick the Blackhawks to go to the Stanley Cup Finals and lose to the Caps. But the Blackhawks are the Blackhawks are the Blackhawks. If they're healthy, they easily can win the Stanley Cup.
You know, the rich get richer. You're looking at the top line for the Chicago Blackhawks, and they had the Rookie of the Year last year in Panarin. They got Patrick Kane, who basically went to them on a coin flip instead of James Van Riemsdyk, who, you know, went to the Flyers, sat, you know, the bench for the Stanley Cup Finals, came in next year, did a few things, got shipped off to Toronto for Luke Shen, who's no longer with the squad. But anyway, and they also have Artem Anisimov.
The former Ranger, of course.
Yeah, of course. You know, I had to throw that in for you. But that's certainly, you know, a top line. He's had a knee injury, but what's amazing about the Blackhawks? 7 rookies this season playing for them, and 4 of them have totaled 89 points. Ryan Hartman leading the way. I mean, they're deep. Even if they have some injuries, like we talked about the Penguins, this is a deep team and can make another run. Do they have enough? I know you have them going to the Cup Finals. Do they have enough to get past either Washington or Pittsburgh or the Blue Jackets if they make it that far?
If you told me it's those three, I would like Washington or Pittsburgh. I'd have to see how, you know, if you told me Columbus beats the Penguins and the Capitals and then beats, you know, what I think is, I don't want to call them the JV because the Rangers are there, but it's like the NCAA, as you said. If the Blue Jackets could get that far, I'm probably, I don't know if I would pick the Blue Jackets. I think their inexperience is going to hurt them in the first round, and if they somehow beat the Penguins without Letang and the others you mentioned at least injured, I think the Capitals get them. But, yeah, I think the Blackhawks can get to the finals. And, again, I think this upper four, Chicago, Nashville, Minnesota, and St. Louis, I mean, if you had to rank them in terms of talent 1 through 8, I think the four of them would be like 1 through 4, or maybe, you know, within the top 5. They certainly wouldn't be in the bottom 2 or 3. So I like the Blackhawks. I like the Blues a little bit, although that's another very close thing. I know we're going to talk about that next. But I think the Blackhawks get all the way to the finals. And, again, that's going to be the experience, even if they're playing Columbus. But I don't think they can beat the Capitals or the Penguins. But right now, as we said, my pick is the Capitals over the Blackhawks in the finals.
All right, your favorite coach, Bruce Boudreau, over in Minnesota now. I'm taking the Wild to some interesting heights, and they're playing those Blues, the aforementioned Blues. Minnesota having a darn good year, 1 win shy of 50. The Blues, 4 wins shy of 50. They're pretty much evenly matched, but, you know, what is Bruce Boudreau? Because he seems to have early success with teams and then doesn't quite get it done in the playoffs, like you mentioned earlier. You don't sound like you're on Minnesota's bandwagon. How come?
Well, I think, again, it's because, you know, he's been not only did he have problems in Washington, I'm sure you know he had problems in Anaheim as well.
Yep.
Now, I'm relying on Jake Allen to play well. He hasn't been great in the playoffs in limited games, but I think they can get the job done. I just like them. And there is kind of, for me, Dubnyk's not playing well for Minnesota. Allen did play well down the stretch. And there is a Boudreau negativity that I buy into. That is that he can get so far, but he can't get over the hump. And frankly, he's never shown that he can get over the hump. And Allen is also being coached or at least mentored by Martin Brodeur, which always helps, but he does need to be able to step up in the playoff series. His record in the postseason is only 3-5 with a .902 save percentage. So that's the big question mark, and I'd prefer to, if I had to bet on goalies, and Dubnyk is a good goalie, but here I'm going to say the Bruce Boudreau coaching curse, if you will, Washington, Anaheim, and in a week or two I think we'll be saying Washington, Anaheim, Minnesota.
Interesting. How much in hockey, I think it weighs heavily in football, how much in hockey does a coach really matter? You look at Mike Keenan. Mike Keenan took the Flyers to 2 Cup finals in 3 years, and of course he faced, you know, a team with 9 Hall of Famers. It doesn't help to face a team like that, but, you know, took him 5 games in 85, 7 into in 87, but didn't win a couple. He's won 1 cup, but has always been hanging around, but won 1 cup in New York. It helps to have Messier. It helps to have Adam Graves. It helps to have Brian Leetch and Mike Richter. You know, when he got it done, he couldn't get over the hump until he got there, and then, you know, they beat the Devils in 7 games, Stefan Matteau and all that good stuff, even though Tikkanen was in the crease, but we'll get to that to my point.
I don't remember that, Joe. I don't. That's the part
you don't remember
I
that part? Valerie Zelipukin, I think, scored with a few seconds left. You must have been dying in that game to send it to, you know, the first overtime.
Absolutely.
Remember that? I'm sure you do. But how much does a coach really weigh into getting a team to the next level? I mean, history says it does, but why?
I think coaching is very important, but I will say this first, with respect to Mike Keenan, a lot of people in New York feel that the Rangers won the Cup despite Mike Keenan, but Keenan and his modern-day guy, Tortorella, in my opinion, these guys come in, they crack the whip. Some players respond great to that. I think as we go on and on, less players will respond great to that. Tortorella has won a Cup, but, you know, to me, essentially ran himself out of New York, and now he's cracking the whip down in Columbus. Has he changed? I haven't seen enough Columbus games, but he seems to be the same fiery guy. So that works nowadays only for a while. And you'll recall the knock on Keenan was he was negotiating for his next job while the Rangers were going through
yes.
a Stanley Cup playoff run. I mean, it was just
yep.
unbelievable. But I do think, and, you know, again, I'll point to the Canadiens bringing Claude Julien back after he was fired, and then they turn around and go 16-7. His rep, as you know, is as a defensive coach. Defense is important in the playoffs in every sport, and he's got the goalie over there. So I do think coaching is very important in the NHL. Hey, look, I think Alain Vigneault is a very good coach. You know, is he ever going to get over the hump? Who knows, but he hasn't yet. He's been there with Vancouver. He's been there with the Rangers, but he hasn't gotten the job done. And whether we like it or not, most of these guys, players and coaches, are pretty much judged by did you win one or not. You don't have to
right.
win two or three or five unless you want to go into the pantheon. But it's
yes.
always coming down to fairly or unfairly, did you win one or not? And guys
yep.
like Bruce Boudreau just haven't done it. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm going Blues over Wild, partly because of the coach, partly because of the way the goalies are going, although I preface that with a regular season going, Dubnyk down,
sure.
Allen up. But it always is a different game. So I think that's a very close series, but I'll go with the Blues on that one.
Another interesting series, I think, and we're almost done wrapping up. We'll get to NBA. Edmonton and San Jose. Now, Connor McDavid, to me, is just I'm 20 years old. He scored 100 points. He's 30-70, you know, playing with Draisaitl and Patrick Maroon. This team went from a minus 43, you know, goals for goals against to a plus 36 this year. First playoff appearance in 11 years, which, again, is amazing. I think maybe their last playoff run was when they lost to Anaheim in the Cup Finals. They made a big run that year. But anyway, then you got San Jose coming off a cup run, got them to the finals. They lost to Pittsburgh. Joe Thornton has a knee injury, and you know, Logan Couture took a puck to the face. Those are the number three and four scorers on that team. They have Brett Burns, you know, one of the top scoring defensemen in the league. But I think it's an interesting series. I'm gonna go Edmonton here because I like their superstar. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm going to go, too, although, again, Oilers haven't been in the playoffs in 11 years. They were last there back in 2006 in the final, and
yep.
San Jose playing poorly coming in, losing 9 of their last 13. I think McDavid is not only the raw scoring champion, but he's a hard MVP candidate as well. Number one in the league in scoring, as you said, also number one in the league with 70 assists. That's pretty impressive stuff. Having said that, you know, if you're going to go on the experience thing, and as you can tell, I'm going back and forth on that this year in terms of selections. But San Jose last year, you know, they've got that experience, but closed very poorly, losing 9 of their last 13. We're going to see what kind of big-time player McDavid is, because obviously the whole plan for San Jose is going to be to shut him down. Can they do that? That's the question of the series. If he's the next big thing, and I think he is the next big thing, I think he's kind of proven that. I think he does well in the playoffs and leads Edmonton to what I would call, you tell me, I would call that a minor upset. But
sure.
again, if it's based on experience, you're going to go with San Jose, but I'm going to pick Edmonton in this series.
I'm with you on that, and I think it would be a minor upset. San Jose almost getting over the hump last year, not quite getting it done. Joe Thornton, 37 years old, carrying that team, has been carrying that team since he got traded from Boston many years ago. Last series we can touch on, and because we'll touch on it real quick, Flames and Ducks. Both teams have made some runs over the last 10 years. Here they are, you know, wild card team is Calgary. They've done well in one goal games, almost 70%. But of course, history says that teams that do that aren't playoff ready, because if you were that good of a team, you wouldn't be in one goal games. That's kind of the theory and philosophy behind it. They lost 4-5 to Edmonton this season. Of course, throw that out with the baby in the bathwater. It's playoff time. Your thoughts on this series?
Well, I'm going to go with Anaheim. They have a 25-game home winning streak against Calgary. 25 games. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Ridiculous.
So you have to like Anaheim in the home games. Although I guess someone else would say, well, Calgary's due, you know. So, But I am going to go. I am going to go with Anaheim. You know, they have that that Mark Giordano hit Cam Fowler just last week, and he's you know, he's out, and they're deep. Anaheim is deep defensively, but losing Fowler is going to be a big blow, and there's going to be some bad blood in this series. You can be sure if a game gets out of hand. I don't know that it'll happen in the playoffs in a one-goal game or a tie game, but if something gets out of hand,